Okay, so good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, Karina, for that introduction. My presentation today will largely focus on the technical and practical aspects of adapting oral health information to meet the needs of Latinos, specifically NIDCR's translation process and team. I will also share with you some lessons learned, among them how to approach oral health terms and concepts that are not easily conveyed in Spanish. First, let me begin by saying that I have no relationships to disclose. So I'm going to very briefly recap some of the key demographics of the Latino population to put into context the need for quality oral health information for United States Latinos. I think Dr. Garcia did a phenomenal job, so I'm going to, more than anything else, point to the fact that Latinos are not a homogeneous group. Like Dr. Garcia said, they have very diverse countries of origin, and they have distinct language preferences. In fact, Latinos see both English and Spanish as important, and English language proficiency tends to vary by nativity status, such that first generation Latinos are typically less likely to be proficient in English than future generations. And among immigrant first generation Latinos, 61% are Spanish dominant. Again, oral health disparities persist among Latinos across the lifespan, and this is compounded by low oral health literacy rates and low rates of dental care access and use. And this is particularly true among Latinos that are Spanish language dominant, have limited education, and among those living in poverty. Sorry, let me get myself together here. Okay, so despite the size, growth, and oral health disease burden observed in the Latino population, there is limited quality oral health information for Latinos that is linguistically appropriate, in other words, available in Spanish, culturally relevant, incorporating Latino cultural values and beliefs, and scientifically accurate. While the ideal is to develop oral health information specifically for Latinos, due to limited resources, we know this is not always the case. So instead, we often turn to translation of English language oral health information to meet the needs of Latinos. So translation is a critical step in the adaptation of oral health information for Latinos. However, ensuring that the translation successfully conveys key oral health messages can sometimes pose a challenge. It is not unusual that that oral health information is translated via direct or literal translations or via machine translations, which both can be problematic, often resulting in language that's awkward or out of context or simply inaccurate. I also want to point to or highlight the use of a professional translator here, although I'm going to get into the specifics of the professional translator in future slides. And I also want to point or highlight this process called transcreation, which is derived from the cancer education literature, which I believe accurately reflects NIDCR's process, translation process. And the gist of it is that you're adapting English language oral health information to meet the needs of your intended audience, in this case, Latinos, by adapting the format, content, and context. NIDCR's Spanish language translation team consists of a professional translator, who in our case is a contractor, and myself, who I am a bilingual health educator with NIDCR, as has been stated. The role of the professional translator, as she has technical expertise as a writer and a linguist, and in that way ensures that our translations are accurate. And although she doesn't have the subject matter expertise on the topic of oral health, she is very knowledgeable on the topic and has always been very willing and motivated to learn about oral health. In my role as a bilingual health educator at NIDCR, I ensure that the institutes oral health information is appropriate for Latinos by conducting formative research, testing the oral health information, collecting audience feedback, and managing and maintaining NIDCR Spanish language oral health information. And I'll have to say that this is a collaborative process, and I really want to emphasize that I work hand in hand with the translator and as well as subject matter experts or, you know, scientific experts in our institute and our professional writers as well. So this exchange or this collaboration between myself and the translator, this ensures that our Spanish language oral health information is systematically revised and edited to retain scientific accuracy. This revision also ensures that there's no inaccuracies or no linguistic or cultural issues within the oral health information. Our work together also ensures that NIDCR's oral health information appeals to a national Latino audience, meaning, and what that means is that we are using a neutral Spanish in order to be understandable to a national Latino audience. And if there is any kind of conflict or any kind of issue arises, we will typically default to Mexican Spanish because of the demographics. We also use images, colors, and other design elements to make sure that the graphics appeal to a national Latino audience. This exchange also ensures that the messages are effectively communicated and that our information is of equal quality as the English language oral health information disseminated by the Institute. And lastly, that it's consistent in style and in language across all platforms, and by this I mean, you know, the web, videos, in print, etc. And we do have a style guide that we use to help ensure this consistency across our platforms. So you may be wondering, what does NIDCR's translation process look like? And in a nutshell, here it is. It was hard to put in a visual, but we did our best to try to convey this for you. So the translation process begins when a need is identified for English language oral health information to be translated into Spanish. And so typically this need will arise as a result of formative research or audience feedback. And so, and also let me say before I proceed that NIDCR's English language oral health information is written by a professional writer editor and is thoroughly reviewed internally and externally by scientific experts. So with that said, once there's a need identified for translation, the translation occurs from English to Spanish by the professional translator. This translation then lands on my desk, where I thoroughly review the translation for a couple things. I review for scientific accuracy, cultural relevancy, and then the basics, you know, grammar, meaning, consistency. And in essence, I'm trying to ensure that there is linguistic and conceptual equivalence between both the English and the Spanish language oral health information. So this reviewing and editing process happens a few times, and I will review it and edit it along with or in partnership with the translator. Oftentimes we also pull in the writers and also our scientific experts if there's any kind of discrepancy or issue that arises. At this point, we incorporate our graphic design, taking into consideration different elements, and we have some audience testing. In other words, we test the information with our formally and informally with our intended audiences or stakeholders in order to refine and finalize our information. However, when you think it's final, it's not final because it's an ongoing process such that there's always ongoing maintenance. So that's why I said it was a little bit hard to put into a visual because that last box is sort of a cycle that just keeps going and going and going. It's ongoing maintenance of our Spanish language oral health information because we periodically and we schedule thorough review of the information to make sure it's still scientifically accurate and everything else is up to date as well. And we do this across multiple platforms, the web, in print, et cetera. So it can be a time-consuming process, as you can imagine. So I'm going to briefly show you some of the design and some of the design elements that we've incorporated into our oral health information. And I won't get too much into it because I know our next presenter will go into depth about that. But in a nutshell, we are incorporating images and colors that resonate with the Latino population. So I'm now going to shift gears a little bit and talk about challenging oral health terms and concepts, and more specifically, our approach to some of these oral health terms and concepts, and how to convey them in Spanish. Typically, these terms and concepts fall into distinct categories: scientific terminology, regional differences in the Spanish language, colloquialisms, conceptual, and some complicated subject matter. For example, with caries, typically in English, caries is not used as often because it's a technical term. We typically refer to it as cavities, which is the end process of the process, or tooth decay, which is the beginning of this process. And in Spanish, that's a little bit more difficult to convey because it's la caries. So it's not really very clear about where in the process that is. So you really have to be, set it up in a way, or explain it in a way that is clear to the audience. And then there's also now the word fluoride. Commonly, it's referred to as fluoruro, but in consulting with our scientific expert, she suggested that we use the word fluor. So what we do in cases such as these is we present the terms side by side in our information. Now, there's regional differences in the Spanish language, and to account for this, what we do is we include variations of the same term, which have similar meanings. For example, pea-sized amount. That one was a tough one, and my origin, I'm Mexican-American, and our translator is Peruvian, so we had many, many and very heated conversations about was it going to be chicharo or was it going to be alberja. So we included both. So we included both, and that is also the case for card candy, where I know it as un dulce duro, and she insists it's caramelo. So again, we included both. Same thing with baby bottle. We pacha, botella, etc. Now, there's also some colloquialisms that you have to keep in mind, as particularly in these translations. We recently launched a new oral health webpage on the tooth decay process and the science behind the tooth decay process. And in the tooth decay process, we talk about the remineralization and mineralization of the tooth and whatnot in the enamel. And we use, to explain this process, we use the tug of war. And we also had an accompanying visual in the piece. And so that's very difficult to convey in Spanish. We talked about it for a bit, and there's no real equivalent for this tug of war, or that we felt that was very familiar to the Latino population in general, that with one term we were going to capture this. So we ended up deciding on using batalla. So sort of to, again, convey that there's two teams, one, the fluoride, and then there's the acids or whatnot, sort of going back and forth. Now, there's some conceptual terms that are difficult. Like I mentioned earlier, the tooth decay process, and what we end up using, or what we say, is el proceso del deterioro de los dientes, the age range, this concept of the 6-year molar, I believe, or the 12-year molar. What we do to sort of make that very explicit or clear to our audience is give an age range, entre los 5 y 6 años, for example. The concept of by the first birthday, that's something we've struggled with for a while. So what we ended up saying is there's no real way to say by the first birthday in Spanish. So we said sort of near or around the first birthday in Spanish. And finally, complicated subject matter, TMJ. In English, it's very typical to say TMJ. Rarely would you say temporal mandibular musculine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I can't even pronounce it very well. So, but in Spanish, ATM, which is the acronym, is not used very often, and in fact, that was something we really struggled with, if that was something that existed out within the Spanish language. So we do say the entire word, and I won't twist my tongue trying to say it right now. So I'm going to wrap up. Clearly, it's a team effort. You can say I work collaboratively with our translator, with our writers, and with our scientific experts. It's a multi-step process, and it's an ongoing process. And in order to ensure that, you must also keep in mind health literacy, that so that the information is accurate, accessible, and actionable, particularly for our intended audiences. And keep in mind the diversity of Latinos, and for lots of reasons, that's very important. Other quick considerations that I feel like I should share with you in my experiences as, you know, with this translation is grammar. It's very important. There's some different rules in Spanish that are, you know, they're different between English and Spanish. So if it's a perfect paper in English, it might not necessarily be in Spanish. Contact information. A lot of times we like to use letters, like 1-800-TEAM-UP or something. That's not very typical or common in Latin American countries. So whenever possible, use the numbers. Linking and referencing information only available in English. Sometimes it has to be done, but if you're going to do that, make sure to put in parentheses available only in English, only in English. That way you're managing users' expectations. You don't want people to get frustrated or feel like they're not getting the information they need. Keep in mind the oral health environment such that often or sometimes folks are underinsured or have no insurance. And so whenever possible, list resources that are available. And this is particularly important lesson for those of you working at the local level that really have direct access. You know, for us nationally, it's a little bit difficult to be very inclusive of the resources, but at the local level, you can be more effective in that way. Finally, the implications of quality Spanish language oral health information. It builds credibility and trust among your intended audience. Of course, it facilitates communication and engagement, and this has implications not only for health promotion efforts, but also in general for research efforts, as Kristen said as well. It supports informed decision-making about oral health among our Latino communities. And finally, it ensures that our key oral health messages are not lost in translation. So here are some quick resources, acknowledgments, and lastly, if anybody needs to get in touch or want me to clarify anything, feel free to get in touch with me. Thank you.